Today's episode is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Jeff Goulding and I'm a Liverpool author.
And I'm Kieran Smith, a Liverpool historian.
Together, we've been working on a great new project, which is a book out later this year entitled The Untouchables, Anfield's Band of Brothers.
It's a great story about one of the greatest sides in Liverpool's history who won back-to-back titles in the 1920s.
Yeah, this is a team that is absolutely packed with incredible characters. Men who fought on the battlefields of Europe in the First World War and returned home to claim two league titles in a row.
And it's due for release in the UK in September. And thanks to our friendship now with the Liverpool Connection podcast, it's also going to be made available through them in the United States at the same time.
Hello and welcome to the Liverpool Connection podcast. I'm Daz. I've got Steve with me. And today's special guests are from the Liverpool Homeless Football Club, obviously in Liverpool, is CEO John Finnegan and Steve Barton. Hiya, lads.
All right.
Hi, Daz.
You okay?
Yeah, sound. It's always great to, you know, when we do these podcasts, it's usually about, you know, Liverpool Football Club, but we also want the listeners to understand, you know, the people of Liverpool and also about the community. So that's why we brought you on as well, because, you know, just reading about yous, you do brilliant things, you know, for the community. And, you know, hats off to you both.
Oh, thanks. It's a pleasure for us to do it. I don't know, we'll probably tell you a bit more about how we started and stuff. But thank you for the opportunity and letting us come on today.
Yeah, definitely welcome. So we'll just kick off then. So bring us back to 2007.
Well, in 2007, there was football tournaments were going on around the city, once every 6 months, and we all used to work in hostels then, or you didn't know support agencies for the homeless. And I didn't know John, and he had a full head of hair, you know. And then I met John, and my hair's all gone now with the stress what he causes me. And we were a group of support workers that it didn't know one another. And we all got together to play 6 monthly tournaments, and we seen the benefit that it was having on the lads taking part. There was less drug and alcohol use. So we decided to take it one step further, didn't we? And do something more irregular. And it took off from there.
So each of our match days are themed. So it's not just, for us, it's not about the footy. The footy is the carrot. And once we've engaged with the lads, then we can look at any issues, health, education, training. It has been, we kind of like started off with like, I think it was 6 teams. Now we have 22 teams in the league. We have 3 divisions. And it is competitive football. The lower divisions are not, they're just kind of tear up, kick a ball. But the Prem, they do want to win that cup at the end of the season. So our match days are once a month, last Tuesday of every month, and with the final tournament in September. And that's when they're all going for the gold. But we've seen the benefits. We've worked with thousands of lads over the years, and the benefits, as Steve said, they're not using alcohol, they're not using drugs, they're not out causing antisocial behaviour. They won't drink the night before or use drugs, so they're on a high waiting for the Tuesday. The Tuesday, they're still a bit endorphins, and the Wednesday, they're on the come down. So, you know, for 3 days, they haven't been out causing antisocial behaviour or anything.
Yeah, but I think going back to when the club first started, when we all got together in the city of Liverpool, I think it's very important to go back to 2007. It's not like it is now, where there was loads of projects going on now. You go, and there's loads of more close working together. In 2007... I had never ever met John, you know, like I said. I might have phoned him once or twice saying, we're asking this lad to leave, because I worked in the Salvation Army then. We're asking this lad to leave. have you got any rooms for them? So we never communicated. Liverpool Owners Football Club was the first agency to bring everyone together in the city, because we had regular meetings. And one of the things we always said, like John said, that it's not about football. So we got the funding in for level one and level two coaching courses, for their refereeing courses, for the lads and girls. But we got the health team involved as well, the community health ambassador team, it was at the time, wasn't it? And they would set up health stores for the lads. And like John said, it was never about the best footballers. It was about just getting the lads there for the two or three hours to have a kick about. When you cross that white line, you're a part of a team. And what we were noticing as a support workers, the lads were more open to us. You know, the lads would talk to us more. I mean, I'm no Virgil van Dijk, but I sat at the back because I couldn't run, right? So what's his name? And one of the lads said to me, "Oh yeah, Harry, you know what? Have they got a benefits appointment? Harry, 2 o'clock. Have they got to be at the Dole office?" No, that lad didn't tell us that, and that lad would have probably forgot about that, because he would have been smoking or drinking or whatever. But a small thing like that is what the football was about. So it's very important to remember the football was just the carrot. We brought a lot of other things to the table for the city of Liverpool, what had wider implications.
As Steve said about the health benefits, our lads are the furthest ones away from the NHS. They're not going to go near a doctor or a nurse. So for 12 months... the nurses that came, and they were the same nurses, and it was like the final month, and they went, "We haven't seen anyone, we can't come back." Because the lads are dead weary of people that are they get kicked out of care, get kicked out of the parents, the hostels throw them out. Everyone's always saying no to them. So for 12 months, these poor women sat there, and then I said to one of the lads, "Go over and get your blood pressure." And he went, "Oh, is that what they do there? I thought they were busies." So they went over, and then from that, the nurses just became the mothers, and they check up. "Your blood pressure was high. Come here, let's get it checked." And they do diabetes tests. So those lads would never have engaged with the nurses, and they come every month, and they're being great. Obviously, with the pandemic, obviously, everything stopped, but hopefully we're kicking off tomorrow. We start our drop-in session again tomorrow.
Nice. Steve?
Good morning, guys. Good to see you guys. It's always good to start my day off with some Scouse accent. It makes me want to have a big breakfast after this, but you know, no beans and toast for me this morning, just coffee.
Hey, I'm you made me hungry now. I'm going to have to go for one.
I wanted to say, you know, you brought up the pandemic, and obviously worldwide, this has been such a tumultuous time for people, but also, you know, on the mental health side, on the homeless side, just the increase that we've had in the United States. And I know it has been the same situation there in the UK. Can you kind of tell us some of the struggles that you guys have had in the last 12 months during this COVID time?
I think for us as a footy club, we lost all contact with our members. Mm-hmm. And that was hard because we're used to seeing them every week. So what we decided to do, we got some money off the council to deliver food parcels. Mm-hmm. So our coaches then became food deliveries. They were like Uber Eats. So they would deliver them to our lads just to make sure that they were okay. And then we also took some iPads out to the lads so they could do Zoom training. It was completely out of our comfort zone. We'd never done, and some of the coaches couldn't use iPads. So it was a big learning curve for us. It's the way we're going to work in the future when people don't have access to us. But we lost a couple of our members to suicide, which had a massive impact with the whole of our members. We lost a girl and a lad. It doesn't just affect that family, it's a ripple effect, because Liverpool Homeless is a family. I say our family grows on a daily basis. So when the girl committed suicide, it affected the girls, but it also affected the lads as well. And then when the lads hung themselves, it affected the lads and the girls. So it affects all of our community. We're there on the front line protecting them and make sure they're all right. And, you know, They've all got our numbers and they can ring us 24/7, which sometimes they do 2 o'clock in the morning. I've just been nicked. Can you come down and bail me out? But yet it has the COVID for everyone has had a massive impact.
I think when you're taking away, if you're talking about it in a football sense, if you're talking about it in the football sense, when the lads and girls turn up at the sessions on like a Tuesday, it's not just going for a game of footy. It's a meeting mates. It's a social interaction. You know, you know football worldwide. You're in America talking about Liverpool Football Club. Liverpool Football Club's got its supporters clubs worldwide. One thing connects them. The round ball brings people together. Now, all the AstroTurf places were shut down, or you couldn't play footy on the park and all this stuff like that. So it took more away than what we think. And to be honest, the after effects of this pandemic, and it'll probably be the same in Australia, in America as well, are still to be felt. You know, so I think for us, what John and the team did, because I wasn't much involved in it that side, but what John and the team did by you keeping in touch with it, the food parcels, going out to sea and keeping in touch with players was absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, you know, just I think across the board, a lot of the organizations that have had to function through these times, they've been able to, I think, bring about new type of operations, right? Like you're saying with iPads, and I know with Zoom calls, obviously, is now part of our daily lives. Whereas, you know, last year it was not really utilized as much in a business sense. Are there other things that you guys have learned while you've been having to take a step back and say, this is what we can do maybe a little bit better in our operations?
Yeah, as I say, like technology-wise, so we're now kind of like, we brought in a new IT system, which we're going to be able to communicate with our members more. Most of our lads and girls don't have iPads, which was and that's a cost to the organisation, but we're looking at kind of sponsors and funders out there. So everyone can have access, everyone should be able to have access to a little iPad or a phone where you can get internet and stuff and engage with people. Otherwise you're socially excluded. So that's something that we're looking at. The coaches are also looking at how they deliver the sessions, obviously with your 2 meter distance and stuff, mm-hmm. and making sure you wash your hands and all that. So it is a massive learning curve. We open up our session again tomorrow and I'm excited, but I'm also apprehensive. We can only have limited numbers, and I think we're going to have more people turning up than what I've had. So it's about how we manage that as well.
Yeah, but I think also for me on that one, it's prior to the pandemic, we took everything for granted, didn't we? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And you know, and who would have thought 12 months on, you're now talking in a football sense that you wouldn't have fans in a stadium still, you know, you'd have never dreamed that it was going to happen, and they're going down the pits and all that, which is our local place where it. We're at the AstroTurf. We can't even have people down to watch the lads to support them, which is a very big thing. So it's a not taking nothing for granted, really, for me now.
I had a question for you, because obviously this is you're in the city of Liverpool, and the people there have always traditionally been very insular, where they help each other out. You know, they always come together to in a cooperative manner to help the anybody that's in need, right? Is this program that you guys have developed here in Liverpool, is that emulated in any other cities there in the UK?
It is. We've had lots of, because we've been going 14 years, we've had lots of other organisations approach us, want to do similar in their cities. So we have Middlesbrough, Manchester, Leeds, Oxford. So there's a few other cities. What we were hoping in the next 4 years is every city have a homeless team, mm-hmm. and then we have a league and we go up to Manchester or they go to, and then it kind of, we develop the league from there.
But I think what you've got to remember as well is each city is different. Mm-hmm. You know, what it works in Liverpool may not work in Manchester, may not work in Oxford. So each city will come. And we've looked at other projects, haven't we, and took one or two things from there. So you've got to set it up to what your need is and what clear resources you've got of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, John, I noticed that you went to Newcastle University, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised you got out of there. I spent one night there and I barely made the train back to London.
You know what? It was an amazing city. I absolutely loved it. I was up there for 4 years. I'd done social work, but didn't become a social worker. I went done more community. But what an amazing... It's just like Liverpool. The people, big hearts, take it in. I'm getting emotional because it's many years ago. But yeah, an amazing city. And it reminded me so much of Liverpool.
Yeah, that's just a great city. The people are so friendly there. And yeah, when I saw it on your CV, I was like, I got to ask him about that because I had such a great, that was my last night on my first trip to the UK, that my last night was in Newcastle and had to take the train back to London. And yeah, like I said, I barely made the train in the morning to get back to the United States.
Newcastle Brown.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you guys, so we have one red, you know, Steve, you're red, and then John, you're blue. So let's talk about, you know, Derby Days, what kind of banter you guys have going on.
Oh, there's murder.
We can't show you the WhatsApp messages, but no. but if we've been getting sticker about this Bramley Murdoch, and I turn around and they say them, you reckon have a shiny new stadium. I call the new stadium Soulless Bowls. I do, because you can't beat an old-fashioned football stadium. That Barcelona comeback two years ago would never have happened if Liverpool were in a new stadium.
Well, I was going to say it would never happen at Goodison.
No, because they're not even in the Champions League, are they?
Have I come on here to be ridiculed?
No, we have friendly banter, don't we?
Yeah.
And I friendly think that's the good thing about this city. You know, it's a melting pot of all cultures, mm-hmm. and people will help you out. On Derby Day, yeah, there's a rivalry, yeah. but there's never any aggression because houses are built in red and blue. Mm-hmm. The mixed races, mm-hmm. mixed cultures, mixed religions, and that's what Liverpool's renowned for is for being friendly.
Yeah, I wouldn't say. I mean, we've seen a change the past couple of years in our derbies, in the city. There's been a thing, yo, with the climate, because you get idiots on it both sides, don't you? But the people are among the football, the people among LHFC, we've got a nice friendly banter. Normally, John doesn't contact us, you know, after the derby, but this time the phone never stopped this year.
Making sure you were all right.
When the A1 at Anfield. So, yeah, we have the banter because we're a mix, aren't we, between reds and blues?
Yeah, I have a question. I mean, with the new ownership group at FSG at Liverpool Football Club and the new ownership group at Everton, you know, there's more money in the club now. All right, have they, what kind of relationship do you guys have with those clubs?
Unfortunately, none. They both got their own charities, so they kind of look after their own charities. Right. I think when we started out 14 years ago, we used to get a signed ball mm-hmm. off Everton and we'd raffle that. Didn't get anything off Liverpool. Mm-hmm. The following year, I think we got a £50. Which was a lot to us then, mm-hmm. Off Everton, nothing off Liverpool. So they kind of like never support us. They're doing a lot more now in the community than mm-hmm. they ever did, right. even though they do have their own charities. Mm-hmm. But it's a little too late.
Right, okay.
Yeah, well, we can all learn, don't we, that they're learning now and that they're moving forward. But like John said, for me, the football clubs could be doing more in mm-hmm. the city, definitely.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I mean, you know, Liverpool have Red Neighbours, which you know, they just started not too long ago. You know, the community needs it. Especially, you know, with the pandemic that's happened, that's, you know, hit everyone hard. You know, you see more people lining up for food at the food banks. You know, that they've been hit hard, you know, really hard. So it's got to be tough for your organisation, you know, to have these people that come, you know, every week, or, you know, like it said on the Tuesdays, not being able to come. I mean, I can't imagine, like, you know, everybody finally coming back, and then you're just seeing, like, you know, 10, 20 people that, you know, used to come aren't there anymore.
Yeah. I think that'll be the big one for us is, as I say, we lost through two of our members through suicide, which had a massive impact. But we don't know how many other people have kind of, the virus has taken, do you know what I mean? And probably tomorrow we'll hear of, like, people who've gone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's one of, we mentioned this on our last episode, actually, you know, the mental situation after this pandemic, I think is going to take a long time to really take a good you know, survey of what has really happened, how it's affected everybody. I mean, with, you know, Daza has kids, I have kids in school, their lives have been kind of, you know, tossed up in the air, and the way they've had to deal with going to school. And so I imagine that we're going to see a lot of those kind of social implications as the years go by. And, you know, we all have to really support each other in that endeavor.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, going back to football as well, I listened to the Anfield Rap, and they spoke about that the other day, saying that there's a chance that we're going to go in at the stadium next week. And when are you going there at the stadium? You don't know everybody's names, do you? But you know, you let on to them, you know. Ah, that's such a person that it wears the hat all the time. You're going to find different people, will it be in their seats? Because unfortunately, some people have passed away. Going back, there's more and more people have took it to drink and their alcohol, you know, through the isolation, with drinking drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, so this pandemic is only just starting now, really, isn't it? The effects of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, we have taken football for granted. Most of the season ticket holders, you know, I know quite a few mates, you know, season ticket holders, you know, they're thinking, oh man, you know, I've been missing this football. But then, you know, you've got lads and girls that don't even have houses, you know. Hopefully this pandemic is going to bring people together, rather than, you know, separate, bring people together. They've obviously, it's brought families together, which is a big thing, because I know a lot of families were kind of, you know, all over the place. Now they've had time to, like, you know, be in the same house basically as well. Like, oh crap, I remember you. You're my wife. You know, kind of thing, that talking. You know, I think that's one of the biggest things, is a lot of people weren't talking. You know, it's basically like, you know, if you have a phone, you just stare at the phone all day. Now with the pandemic, you've been able to, like, sit next to someone and actually talk to family members. But again, it's got to be, you know, it is tough. We're going through a tough time. I wanted to ask you, how do people donate? Or because, you know, we have a lot of listeners all around the world. So how would they donate?
If you just go onto our website, it's www.liverpoolhomelessfootballclub, and there's a link there. You can press the link and you can donate. But I just wanted to bring up about when you're saying it brings people together. Unfortunately, domestic abuse has increased tenfold. Families are strained because they're being put in a situation what they wouldn't normally be in. You know, the kids would be at school, or they'd be at work or whatever. And we've seen a rise in Liverpool domestic abuse hostels. No one can get in them because the person at the seams. So that's the downside to it. But also with football, it brings domestic abuse as well. So during the World Cup, domestic abuse increases by, I think it's something like 30%. So as soon as England get kicked out, you know, he has a few more pints, goes home and batters the misses. So there is the darker side to football, although there is a lot of positive stuff, there is negative stuff as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think going back to donations, going back to 2007 when the club first started, where this is how the club has progressed now. If someone come up to me and John and said, "Ah, am I giving you 50 quid?" We'd look at one another, wouldn't we? And go, 50 quid? We've got 50 quid, which was it made up to it, get a donation, you know, because that's it where the club has gone. So anything goes into it, help it. The club at the end of the day, but we're at the programs now, we're at the iPads and it cost a lot more than 50 quid to do whatever we want to do, but we used to be made up, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, we can honestly say every penny that comes into the club is spent on our members. There's no chief exec on 100 grand, there's none of that. I'm the chief exec and I get £12,000 a year. And you know what? I can live on that. You can't have a chief exec on stupid amounts of money when there's kids knocking on the door for a bag of food or for an electric card. So there's none of that in our club.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about your operations and how the revenue that you get in, are those mostly donations? You have some corporate sponsors that are helping you out, and where do those monies go to on a, like a, you know, a monthly basis?
So we'll identify a project and then we have to identify money to pay for it. So we're a member led club. So our members are my boss. Mm-hmm. And they'll say they want to do a fishing project. So we'll have to identify money and we'll identify it. Maybe B&Q will donate the fishing rods or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's how we kind of do it. We do have a surplus pot of money. And that's for emergencies. So if anyone is struggling with the lechi or the gas has been turned off or they want to do a course, we can dip into that pot of funding and we can pay for the course or give them a lechi card or a bag of food or whatever. We do struggle. We're a small little club that has a massive impact. We do change lives. And without people who donate, I mean, I think we used to do backpacking on a Saturday in Asda. I don't know whether you have that over there. It's where you pack people's bags and they give you a donation. We climbed up Snowdon for fundraisers. So we're constantly fundraising and thinking of new ideas, how people can get involved. Mm-hmm. What we say, we don't want anything off you until you know about us. Mm-hmm. Because people don't kind of get it. It's like homeless people playing football don't get it. They haven't got a house, or they haven't got food, and they're playing football. But when they actually come and see the match days, they're kind of blown away, obviously. It's like, wow, wasn't expecting that. I don't know what people are expecting. But we're quite lucky. We got John Bishop on board. I don't know if you know John Bishop. He's a famous comedian over here. And John's been really good to us. John's our patron. Gives us a wedge of money every year, which helps pay my salary and keep the club going. But John is really good, and he promotes us, gets other celebs involved. We try and have our match days are themed. So if it's mental health, we'll get like a footballer who suffered with mental health. If it's racism, we've had John Barnes a few times talking about racism. So we try and link the footballers in, and it just kind of gives that added extra. You know, the best people that we've had down, Jamie Carragher. Mm-hmm. Jamie came down, and he turned up in a normal car and normal clothes. Yeah. There was no pretentiousness. He spent all day with the lads and had a game of 40, and the banter was good. John Bishop, again, didn't turn up in his big flashy car, which they could do. Mm-hmm. If you come into a homeless event, don't turn up in your Armani and Gucci and your big flashy car. You're rubbing people's noses in it. Right. They'd gone to a meeting. Liverpool Football Club wanted to get involved, you remember?
That was years ago.
Yeah. And the carpet was shag pile carpet. We were floating on this carpet, walking in to this boardroom with all these people. And we want to help you. We thought the footballers could come down and give the homeless a cup of soup. So me and Steve looked, this is not for us, and we got up and we walked out, because they didn't kind of get what it was about. I mean,
yeah, it seems like there's a different mindset now. The players at both clubs are very community oriented, you know, especially within the last 12 months. They're not able to get out in the community, but they've been very active on social media, and I think that's what gravitates a lot of people that are outside of Liverpool towards the club and the city, is that they just see that kind of the camaraderie of the players and the community. So it's good to see that.
Yeah, the thing for me, Steve, you're no talking about that. You've seen the way Liverpool Football Club have started to develop. Mm-hmm. And that it comes from the top. That it comes from Jurgen Klopp. Mm-hmm. That it comes from Jurgen Klopp. That I I believe that is 77th minute walkout, you know, when we were winning 2-0 and we drew 2-2. That changed FSG, that. I think that Klopp went to FSG and said, look, you've got to do something about this. And, you know, since that, for me, I've seen that club come together more than it's ever been in my lifetime. You didn't know what I mean. So it starts from here to top, that what Liverpool are doing now as a community. But going back to what John said today about climbing up Snowdonia, I ask him what he was like climbing up Snowdonia.
Go on, John. Anyway, moving on.
Oh no, we've got to hear this now.
You got up there eventually.
At least we know your hair wasn't flowing in the wind.
I did used to have an afro many years ago.
I was about
to
say,
did you win the stuffed animal when you got to the top?
They should have seen him. Then Nick Cummins' army, he was struggling. How far to go now? That it was after 10 minutes. How far to go now? Then Nick Cummins' arm was saying to everyone, not long, love. Not long to go, lads. Not long, love. Oh, but hey, you've done it, John. We were proud of you.
Daz, see, while we're on flagging people off, can we just ask Steve where he was born? Crew.
I was born in
birth certificate, it says crew. So he's not even a proper scouser.
You were having a go at me.
Hang on. I ain't had a go at you because your wheelie bin. I've got a purple wheelie bin now. That's it, all that matters. But that's it, the beauty about football. It unites people from everywhere, doesn't it?
Even crew.
You know. And they just going back to people we've had at this special events, you've heard of Andy Walker, haven't you? Unfortunately, the lad that was murdered in it, the racist attack. We got his mum down, G Walker, to open the season at about 2008, 2009, because it was based around awareness, discrimination. And we had 120 lads were at the venue, and we're talking about lads with this, some that might have a lot of criminal past and all that, right? This woman, she must be out, not in very tall. She come in, she started telling her story and about what happened to her son, and for people to be nice to someone, and then for people to respect one another. The whole, I couldn't hear a pin drop. That it was one of the most amazing days of Liverpool Homeless Football Club. I say that because the respect what them lads had for her as well. You didn't know what I mean. Was it absolutely brilliant? And that it sums the club up. You didn't know what it's about.
Well, I think because there's obviously a massive stigma about homeless people. There is over here. People don't really. You know, they just think, they're homeless, they must be lazy, they don't want to get a job.
Yeah.
They don't think about the mental health issues, you know. Maybe they went through a bad divorce, maybe, you know, they lost their job, they got evicted, they were an ex-army, you know. People don't really think about that. You know, you walk past a homeless person and a lot of people are like, you know, just like scoff at them. They don't really like, you know, think like, what did he go through to get there. So I think, yeah, people do need to be a lot more nicer and think about, you know, other people than themselves.
And that's what we say to people outside of the club. Come and speak to our members, listen to the journeys, listen to the stories. It'll change your attitude. And most people do. They come along and they like have a chat with the lads and the girls. And honestly, their attitude changed. They go, oh, do you know what? None of our lads or girls have shoved needles in their arm because they want to, or got drunk because they want to. There's always a reason of why they do it. And when you hear their journey and their stories, honestly, some of them are heartbreaking. When we set up, I wanted to have a no-exclusion policy into the club. And, like, I kind of battled with the committee. They're like, yeah, you can't have a no-exclusion policy. And I said, well, look, everyone says no to our lads. It was just lads at the time. So, like, you get kicked out of care, the parents throw them out. And we built in a no-exclusion policy. And the first game, this kid headbutts this other kid, knocks him clean out. They go, get the police, get the police. I said, no, I'll deal with it. And the lad was like a brick door, honestly, Jay Robbo. And it goes over. He was angry. He was like a bull. Thought, I'm going to get killed here. And he went, Finno, he said something about me, ma. And he was screaming. I said, calm down. He said, I lost my mum when I was seven. Now, that kid was like from Heighton, rough area. His mum had died and his dad said, she said, get on with it. To a seven-year-old kid. So this man who's now 20-odd has got all this anger and rage and, you know, doesn't understand. We ended up sending him to another organisation and he had bereavement counselling, he had anger management counsel. He ended up going to work there as a mentor for younger people. Now, my point being, if I'd have said, get the police and get him nicked, what would have happened to his journey? So it's about, we have a responsibility to our members. We're their kind of guardians, if you like. I am quite protective over them. I know, with some of the things I tell you, it's like, wow, you still, but it's about sometimes as a parent, and you know, as a parent, your kid's too wrong. It's kind of like, forget it, move on. And that's what we have to do in the club.
You know, that's a kind of a good overview of what our penal system here in the United States is. You know, it's more punitive versus rehabilitative, you know, and it is just a change of the mindset, and it has to start at the very beginning, at the lower ends, you know, to bring it up, and that people shouldn't be a commodity. That, you know, they need to be something that you treat fairly and with empathy. And I think, you know, we have a long way to go, and you know, organizations like yourself and some of the other people that we've spoken to over the past year on our podcast, you know, you see that there are little pockets of groups that are trying to make a difference, and that is just going to have to take everyone, because it's a shame to see anything like that, you know.
Listen, I'm not saying we're perfect. We're far from perfect, but we try and do our bit, and we try and change people's lives with a ball.
Mm-hmm. Wanted to ask you also about the back kitchen, because is it still going? Well, I mean, obviously with the pandemic, but. So
the back kitchen is the bane of my life. I hate it. Steve, the back kitchen's a catering pod, you know, like your burger vans. It's one of them.
So we
were gifted it off a housing association. And we went, yeah, we'll take that. So we took this back kitchen. And then we went, what are we going to do? So it sat there for 12 months because we were thinking, what are we going to do with it? Because you have to tow it. Mm-hmm. So then I had to get my car with a tow bar on it, mm-hmm. and then they pulled the back of my car. So then we had to buy a little van. So it was all this cost stuff. But the back kitchen's dragged along on match days, and the lads are fed and watered. And it's always like, we tried to introduce healthy stuff, and there was murder. No, we just want burgers and hot dogs. And it was like, no, what about a panini? Wah! No, so there was like, we weren't get away with it. But we rent it. We hire it out to other organisations, and we go along and we do community events, and we charge £2.50 for a burger and a drink, and the big guy next to us is charging £10. He's got a big queue around the corner, and we've got our quality of stuff's better, but people don't seem to come to us. But it is washing its own face. Sorry, we're just in the office. Sorry about that. So the back kitchen, it generates a bit of income, but not as much as it should.
No, it's great, you know, because I've read, you know, feeding everyone, because I guarantee, you know, most of those people only get one meal a day.
Yeah, it's that.
Again, sad. But I wanted to talk also, you know, I've seen on the website, you assist in employment, you've got your training courses, your health support services, and, you know, meals served. I mean, you do more than what a football club, you know, should do. And you also, you know, some of the people that I watched on the video as well, like, have got their UEFA licences. It's brilliant.
Do you know what? It's about us. My vision is, I don't want to be sitting here in like 4 years' time. What I want is one of our members to be the chief exec. But I want, no, seriously, because it is about.
I was about to say, tell Steve to be quiet.
Do
Okay, yeah, because I'll be backwards and try to fix it
for 2 seconds.
I'm on my way back, then I got caught up in traffic.
Sorry, do apologise.
All right.
Liverpool fans.
Sorry, Steve's like in the middle of an interview. Gotta go.
Sorry, where it was.
Sorry, what was I saying? Sorry, Steve Daz.
I don't know anymore.
Daz was mentioning how some of the people in your organization, you know, they've gotten their coaching badges and things.
It's about empowering them so they can take over the club. Obviously, like, our members should be running the club. I shouldn't be saying it. Steve shouldn't be here. It should be about them. They're the future. Imagine a homeless guy sleeping in the doorway one year, and then he's the chief exec of a homeless organisation. I hope we're not around. I really do. Hope we're not here in 5 years' time. But homelessness has been there from dawn, and I think it'll always be there. While we're not political, so we won't get into politics. Okay. But while there's certain regimes out there, governments and stuff, you're always going to have an underclass.
Well, you have to stay long enough to get your tracksuit.
I need to lose a bit of weight to get a tracksuit.
go ahead, Des.
I was going to say, you know, going back to John Bishop, he has enough hair for both of you.
He does. You know what, he does. He's in Liverpool filming. He's the new Doctor Who assistant. So he's in Liverpool. So he should have come and seen us, but this week he's a bit busy. But he is coming back. He'll be back in April, he said. And do you know what? He's a good man. Every time he's in Liverpool, he'll give us 40 tickets. He gives us 10 for our sponsors and our partners, and we go to the green room, and then the rest are for our members. I mean, the first year, we went to the Echo Arena, and some of the girls were a bit worse for wear, and they were heckling him. We never, ever found out it was our girls. Like,
yeah, he might not have come back.
Might not give us any more tickets.
Well, fellas, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm really, really glad that we finally got you on, because it's something that needs to be talked about. Again, you know, me and Steve like to do something a bit different on our podcast, and get organizations and charities involved, and people that listen to our podcast are all around the world don't know about Liverpool Homeless Football Club, but now they will, and hopefully when they come over, maybe they'll pop their head in and come see what you're all about. I know when I come home, hopefully in August, I'll be down there to see you lads.
Fantastic.
Thank you for the opportunity. Thanks for raising awareness. When you sent that email, I was like, oh, what's this? But I'm really glad that we've had the opportunity to find out about you, for you to find out about us. Thanks, Daz and Steve.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. We'll make sure to link your website and to all our social media, so that way, we'll continue to raise awareness, and we'll be making sure to, keep track of your progress. And hopefully when, everybody gets back to normal, your guys' operation just gets back into the swing of things and starts supporting the football matches.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Daz.
Stay safe.
Stay safe, man.